In the aftermath of the Arab Spring protests and the 2011 revolution, looting has become a serious problem in Egypt. And people of all kinds who are looking for profit are looking to profit from the black market antiquity trade that has been desecrating previously untouched cultural heritage sites. Dr. Monica Hanna, an Egyptian archaeologist and writer for Daily News Egypt, has been exposing the looting and destruction of archaeological sites and monuments for the past several years, and she's also played a role in protecting many sites, including the Egyptian Museum, Abu Sir el-Malak, and Dahshur. She's in New York this week to receive the 2014 Safe Beacon Award for her work, and I'm very pleased it has brought her to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
Now, you got your bachelor and master's degrees at the American University in Cairo, but then you left Egypt and got a PhD at the University of Pisa in Italy because you're already thinking about antiquities?
Yes, because in our career, you cannot really start anything without having a PhD on hand. So this is what I left to do in Italy.
Well, in Italy, the looting has been a problem over the years.
Yeah, 30
Greece,
years ago.
Mexico, China. Is the situation in Egypt any different?
The situation in Egypt is quite different because with the current, we're 90 million inhabitants today in Egypt. And with the lawless, with the security vacuum after the toppling of the Mubarak regime, looting is just everywhere.
So the two governments that followed, Mohamed Morsi's and now the current one under Field Marshal Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, they're not paying attention to the looting?
The current government is not under Abdel Fattah el-Sisi. It's under Adli Mansour. He's the current president. It used to be much worse under Morsi. It is still bad. The problem is that it's very difficult to police most of the archaeological site. And a lot of people go loot because there is a demand market.
Isn't there also a problem with government and many people in Egypt and other Muslim countries that there is a kind of disconnect? The treasures we're talking about represent a different religion altogether. We saw that in Afghanistan where the Taliban were actually blowing up Buddhist statues.
But it's very different in Egypt. It's not a matter of religion. It's a fraction of the situation. But the real thing is that Egyptology as a science originated in the West. It was the West studying the East. So Egyptology and the study of ancient Egyptian history started as a Western study. And with the progress of time, it transferred from being a Western responsibility after the 1952 revolution with Nasser that it became a state business. And under the 30 years of Mubarak, heritage was always a state business. And people did not feel the ownership to the heritage. Even, you see, the signs in the Valley of the Kings are written only in English because they designate the heritage place just for the foreigners, the tourists and the foreign archaeologists, not for the Egyptians.
Well, it I'm sure it rankles some people that in Europe, some great collections of Egyptian art. And in New York alone, the Metropolitan Museum, the Brooklyn Museum, has this incredible collection of Egyptian art, all taken at an earlier time.
Yeah. Well, yes.
You have to come to Brooklyn to see some pretty good stuff from Egypt's past.
Yeah, I will hopefully on Saturday.
So what kinds of things are the looters looking for?
They look for everything, anything that they can sell, different artifacts, mostly funerary objects, little statues, the serving statues called ushaptis, jewelry, canopic jars, sarcophagi, anything that they can sell.
And who's buying them? I would assume that if somebody came to me and said, I have a sarcophagus to sell, I would pretty much be sure that it was looted.
Well, the problem is there is a demand. A lot of people do not see that it's actually a crime to buy illicitly excavated objects. And for them, it's fine. It's part of their own private collection that they want to have. And people go loot because there is a very vibrant market.
And you said that some of these places are rather remote locations.
Yeah.
So do they even bother trying to hide what they're doing?
No, it's up, and it's gangs. We have two different types of looters. We have very organized mafia looters who have brought weapons from Libya. They also have...
So they come armed?
Yes, they come armed. They have geosonars, so they know where exactly to dig. They come in four-wheel drives, and they even are using the high unemployment rate now. They employ regular workmen, day workmen, to dig for them.
And what does the site look like after it's been looted?
It looks like a Swiss cheese.
Because they've just dug a lot of holes.
Yeah.
Are they just using shovels, or because archaeologists often just use little brushes and
trowels and yeah. Well, no, they dig with big shovels and sometimes even with bulldozers, and they destroy a lot of the archaeological record on their way in search for the gold or for the treasure.
So and dynamite, I heard as
yes,
well.
Yes, yes. In an archaeological site of Ancina, it's a Coptic monastic settlement from the 4th century AD. They are dynamiting the historical keep that's right below the church in search, again, of this treasure that does not exist.
Well, the dynamite, of course, would also damage these things, make
completely,
them less valuable.
Yes, completely.
But weren't most of these sites excavated before the looters arrived?
Not all of them. You have a site like Dahshur was completely virgin before the looters came. Another site like Abu Sir al-Malik, Ancina. Several sites are virgin, or excavations did not reach this area.
Well, since they're not excavating these things with any sense of preservation, they're destroying a lot of knowledge of the place that they're looting.
Of course, and again, even if we repatriate the object that's taken out of its historical context loses 70% of its value. It turns from a historical object into just an artifact. So we're losing the history not just of Egypt, but it's world history.
My guest is Monica Hanna, who is an Egyptian archaeologist. Also, you write for the Daily News Egypt, but also have been doing a lot of stuff on social media. Archaeologists aren't known for having a big social media presence. How big is your following on Twitter?
I think 29,000 followers.
And why did you turn to Twitter and Facebook to spread awareness of this situation?
Because it was the only way, the Egyptian revolution started on social media. And it was a way to get my voice heard and to get the voice also of those ancient mummies ripped completely out, that someone actually sees them. It's very fast. I go to the site, I take photographs, and I post them on Twitter and Facebook, and people retweet them all around the world.
And are they just retweeting them? Are they also responding and writing back to you?
Responding, writing back. A lot of journalists ask for interviews, TV shows in Egypt. Everyone who thinks that getting the message out is very useful for the cause.
Well, has spreading information through the social media led to looters being caught or stolen antiquities being found?
Well, for example, in the case of Dahshur, with a lot of pressure from social media and regular media, we've managed to get the army deployed on site to protect it against the looters.
Now, Dahshur, there are pyramids?
Yes, there are Old Kingdom, Fourth Dynasty pyramids, as well as Middle Kingdom pyramids.
These are not pyramids of the size of Giza's pyramids, are they?
They're quite impressive, because in Dahshur we have actually the first true pyramid, because, you know, the pyramid evolution did not start right away with a true pyramid. They started with a series of steps until they've reached the true pyramid. So in Dahshur we have the North Pyramid, built by the father of King Khufu, who built the Great Pyramid.
It's interesting that the pyramids in Mesoamerica are also steps.
Yeah.
I guess it was part of the thing was being able to climb to the top.
And it's stable.
Has Dahshur been a tourist attraction?
Not as it should be. Not as it should be. Very few tourists actually reach the area of Dahshur. And it's beautiful because it has a very nice lake with a lot of migratory birds. So it's natural and cultural heritage together.
You talked about the disconnect with the Egyptian population. You've said that even Egyptian social studies textbooks view ancient and modern Egypt as hermetically sealed entities. Why have the two become so separated?
Again, because people thought it's a state business. And also because even modern Western scholars who started writing about ancient Egypt do not care about modern Egypt. They completely, this disconnect was created by mainly Western scholars of ancient Egypt.
But since Egypt is one of the first great civilizations, you would think that all of this would be a source of national pride.
It is, and it is becoming. And through social media, you can see how Egyptians are responding back, and they're very upset about what's happening, and they're reappropriating back their heritage. But again, people cannot appreciate something they do not know about. So if they have not properly studied this history and how grand it is, it's very difficult for them to appreciate it.
Have you talked to people in the government about perhaps putting guards around some of the places that are most likely to be looted?
We do have guards, but the problem is with the training of the guards. There are around 12,000 guards in the Ministry of Antiquities, but they're not trained to face the highly technological weapons of the high technological weapons of the looters.
Now, in Iraq, after the fall of Saddam Hussein, the museums were looted. Is this a problem in Egypt as well?
Well, the Egyptian Museum, there was the human chain that protected it, and just a few 56 objects got looted from the museum. What happened with the Malawi Museum was just in the violence right after the dispersal of the Muslim Brotherhood sit-in in Rabaa, that with the violence and the shooting between the police and the Islamists, things went off hand and people entered the museum. But
so people were taking, using this as an opportunity,
yeah,
because of the police were distracted.
Exactly.
But is there a political aspect to this?
It's very difficult to say. It's very difficult to say. There was one mummy that got burned. So it's very but you never know what really happened. And the cameras were stolen, so we do not have a video record of what happened at the museum. So it's very difficult to say.
Well, congratulations on this award. Can you tell us a little bit about SAFE, Save Antiquities for Everyone?
SAFE is an NGO here in the States, and they're based in New York. And the first time I've heard about them was by their founder, Cindy Ho. She contacted me on internet right after the looting of the Malawi Museum. And since then, we've been working in close collaboration to prepare for this week's event.
So she became aware of you through Twitter?
Probably, or regular newspaper articles. I have no idea.
Do you tweet in Arabic, or do you tweet in other languages
as well?
I tweet
in English, Arabic, sometimes in French and Italian.
Do you have any sense of where most of your readers are located?
I think mostly in Egypt and the scholarly community of Egyptologists, the foreign archaeologists.
Now, this is a Western award. How do you think it's going to play back home?
It's difficult. I think a lot of people, it's good for the cause, because in the West, there is the market. So I think it's very important to create awareness where the market is. And I'm sure back home, it will be taken okay.
Well, doesn't the West bear a certain responsibility thinking about what's going on now with ivory and how some countries are destroying ivory to pretty much destroy the market? In this case, these things have to be smuggled into other countries. I'm sure many of them are found by customs. And then if they show up in galleries, it's quite obvious that they have been looted recently.
Yes, and several objects were stopped, like in London and in other places. But a lot actually go unnoticed for private collectors without even being without showing up on galleries. And this is where the big problem is.
Shame on those collectors.
Yeah.
You will be giving a lecture at Cooper Union tomorrow?
Yes.
What are you going to be talking about? What we've been discussing?
Yes, and I'll show them how graphic the photographs are of the looting and the magnitude of the destruction and the desiccation to the Egyptian cultural heritage that has been going on for the past 3 years.
Are these the kinds of objects I'd be familiar with from visiting museums, or are new things still to be discovered?
I think, yes, it's the familiar objects that you could see at the Met or other museums. as well as different things. Like, for example, in Abu Sir al-Malik, we had Hyksos burials. Hyksos were foreigners who used to govern Egypt in the 17th dynasty. But again, the archaeological record got destroyed. I'm sure it would have been different because it's a very short period of time.
So it's part of the history of ancient Egypt still is to be written, and by destroying these sites, we're kind of muddying the record.
Absolutely.
Well, as I said, congratulations on the SAFE Award. And for anyone who wants to go to the lecture at Cooper Union tomorrow, it's at 6:30 p.m. It's at Cooper Union's Rose Auditorium. For ticket information, go to our show page at wnyc.org. And my great thanks to Dr. Monica Hanna for being our guest today.
Thank you very much.